إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، It's a pleasure to welcome all of you once again in this class of As-Sirah, in which we read from the abridged biography of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, مختصر سيرة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Last class we talked about the أنواع الوحي, the types of revelation. As a summary, that the revelation which came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the Messenger of Allah, was of a number of different types. The first was a vision, and it came true. The second, that which the angel Jibril alayhi salam put into the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeing him, seeing Jibreel. The third one, that the angel appears to him as a man and speaks to him. Okay, and the fourth, that it would come to him like the ringing of a bell. And this was the hardest from all of them. The fifth way, that the angel would come to him in the form in which he was created, and he would inspire him as Allah will. And this happened on two occasions. The sixth one, what Allah revealed to him above the heavens on the night of Al-Mi'raj, including the obligation of prayer and other things. We continue, inshaAllah ta'ala, and then Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahmahu ta'ala, as he's bringing points by points. Okay? Not because this is called Mukhtasar, abridged and summarized. So he doesn't go into details like in other books, they go into more, far more detail. But the Shaykh is bringing points. And that's why from this he's going to go to this point, أول من آمن, the first to believe. Okay? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called to believe in Allah, he called the people to believe in Allah. The slaves of Allah from every tribe answered his call, and the first of them was Abu Bakr, the Siddiq. The Siddiq is a title bestowed upon him by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam due to the fact that he believed the Prophet's story of the night journey, Al-Isra, and the ascension to the heavens, Al-Mi'raj, when others did not. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is the first to believe of this nation, radiallahu anhu. He supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in defending the religion of Allah, and he called with him to Allah, and among those who answered his call were Uthman, Talha, and Sa'd radiallahu anhum. So he called them to Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, and they answered, alhamdulillah, Uthman, Talha, and Sa'd. Another who responded early unto this call was As-Siddiqah, Khadija radiallahu anha, the wife, the first wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As did Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu also. These are from the first ones to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr, Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Khadija radiallahu anha, and Ali radiallahu anhu. Can you shut that door, please? And as did Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhum ajma'een, meaning Khadija and Abu Bakr and Ali. And Ali, when he was only 8 years old, it was said that he was older while he was under the guardianship of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, having taken him from his uncle Abu Talib. Abu Talib took care of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taking care of the son of Abu Talib. Allahu Akbar. Then the Shaykh, he brings the story of Zayd ibn Haritha. The story of Zayd ibn Haritha. Radiallahu anhu. Zayd ibn Haritha, radiallahu anhu, was one of the early converts to Islam. He was beloved by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zayd ibn Haritha. And then we have Usama ibn Zayd. Okay? But this is Zayd. We have also the young companion Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, but this is the companion Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. He was one of the early to accept Islam as well. And he was beloved by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had been a slave of Khadija radiallahu anha, and she gave him to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he married her. She Zayd ibn Haritha, he was a slave of Khadija. Okay, and when she married him, when she married actually the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when she married the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she gave him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him. Subhanallah. Usually people, how they treat the slave is Allah al-musta'an, but this is his master, but he loved him. And this is before Islam, because he married Aisha when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Khadija. Actually, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 25 years old. The ulama, they said he was 25. Okay, but that shows the akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ, his high manners and morals. He treat the people with dignity, with love, with respect. He don't like make distinction, or this is slave, he's nobody, like certain people do. No, this is Islam, this is the real Islam. And that's what the people need to know about the Prophet ﷺ, especially the kuffar, who they say so much bad things about him out of ignorance. Then they can even, they fail to treat their own children nicely and with respect. Here is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He loved, his slave was beloved to him. Then his father Haritha, look now what happened, the story. His father, meaning the father of Zayd, because Zayd ibn Haritha, ibn meaning the son of. So Haritha is his father, the father of Zayd. Then his father Haritha and his uncle, meaning Zayd's father and his uncle, they came to the Prophet ﷺ to ransom him. Alhamdulillah, finally they said, listen, we want to get our son out of slavery. So they came to present a deal, an offer to the Prophet ﷺ. If we give you this and this, would you set our son free? Okay? But pay attention now to this story. So, Zayd's father and Zayd's uncle, they came to the Prophet ﷺ to ransom Zayd. And they said to the Prophet ﷺ, they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O son of the master of his people, you are the people of Allah's sanctuary and his charges, Meaning that he says, you are the people mean Quraysh and Bani Hashim. You are the because then they came from another tribe. So you are the people of the sanctuary of Allah, meaning Mecca, and his charges, those who are in charge of the Kaaba, the house of Allah. You liberate those in distress. See, now they bring in this nice introduction. See, this is, we learn a lot from this one here. So now they didn't come and say, listen, we got some money, let our son go. Look. They do it in a nice, in finesse, like we say. They like, you are the best of the people, you live in the best area, you're in charge of the house of Allah. And they start to enumerate some of the manners that the Arabs, even though in the times of Kufr and Shirk, they are known with these good things. You liberate those in distress. You feed the captives. And so we have come to you regarding our son. Meaning, we're reminding you that you guys are good, have good manners, and you're from those people who have good manners, and you do these things for many people. So here we come in and talking to you in regard of our son, your slave. So be kind to us and accept his ransom. Allahu Akbar. Likewise, we learn from this, Ikhwan, is that if you want to ask somebody something, you want to talk to somebody, talk. Mention some good things about them. To open their hearts to you. Jazakallah khairan ya akhi, barakallahu feek, you're my elder brother. Alhamdulillah. I see that, alhamdulillah, you like to help the people out and this and this. And then say what you want to say. You see? Don't give it like come dry. Give me a ride now. Talk to the people in a nice way. The Prophet said, مَا كَانَ الرِّفْقُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا ذَانَ. Gentleness, leniency. Whenever it's added to something, except that it make it beautiful. So they says, since you're from those people who have all these good things, and you help the people out, and this, and you free the captives, well, here now we come to you about our son. Now, but hey, but we want to ransom him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَهَلْ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. The Prophet said to them, may I suggest something else? Instead of you giving me your money or whatever you want to give me, may I suggest something else? They said, and what is that? He said, أُدْعُوهُ فَأُخَيِّرُهُ فَإِنْ اِخْتَارَكُمْ فَهُوَ لَكُمْ وَإِنْ اِخْتَارَنِي فَوَاللَّهِ مَا أَنَا بِالَّذِي أَخْتَارُ عَلَى مَنْ اِخْتَارَنِي. Prophet says, we call him, we will call him, meaning call Zayd to come in front of us and give him the choice whether to go with you or to stay with me. If he chooses you, then he is yours. But if he chooses me, by Allah, I will not choose another than one who has chosen me. Hey, subhanAllah. Tayyib. Prophet didn't say how much you got, what you offering me. He cares about the men, and he cares about you gotta understand from the statements of Zayd himself. So they said, you have answered us by meeting us halfway, and you have behaved well. He says, yes, you work for us, it's okay. So he called him and asked him. Prophet called Zayd and asked him, هَلْ تَعْرِفُ هَؤُلَاء? Do you know these people? Who are these people? His father and uncle. Do you know these people? He said, yes, they are my father and my uncle. Then the Prophet said to him, فَأَنَا مَنْ قَدْ عَلِمْتَ وَقَدْ رَأَيْتَ صُحْبَتِي لَكَ فَاخْتَرْنِي أَوْ اِخْتَرْهُمَا. Allahu Akbar. Then the Prophet said to him, and you know me, and you have seen how I treat you. So choose me or choose them. Allah. He said, Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu said, I will not choose other than you. Now this is his father, this is slavery, Ikhwan. He says, I will not choose other than you. He's a slave. The Prophet has given him the choice. You can go free with them if you want. He says, I will not choose other than you. To me, you are like a father and an uncle. Mu'amala, ikhwan. How to treat one another. They said, who they said? The father and uncle. They said, shame on you, Zayd. Would you choose slavery over freedom and over your father, your uncle, and your family? They said to him, shame on you. How could you, like, if they saying to him, how could you turn down this opportunity? You know how many people there would grab it and run with it? This. They say to him, shame on you, Zayd. Would you choose slavery over freedom and over your father, your uncle, and your family? He said, yes. Yes, I do, I will, I choose that. I have seen something of this man, and I will never choose another over him. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this, he took him out to the Hijr Ismail. When he saw this, he took Zayd to a place near to the Kaaba, which was commonly used to make public announcements in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because people they gather around there. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the people, أُشْهِدُكُمْ أَنَّ زَيْدًا إِبْنِي أَرِثُهُ وَيَرِثُنِي. He said, I call upon you as witnesses that Zayd is my son. I am his heir and he is mine. I inherit from him and he will inherit from me. Allahu Akbar. When Zayd's father and uncle heard this, they became happy. Allahu Akbar. They became happy and left. And he was called Zayd ibn Muhammad. Until Islam came. So this is before Islam. Akhlaq al-Rasul, before Islam. The manners of the Prophet. So he was called Zayd ibn Muhammad. Until Islam came, and the following verse was revealed. Udu'uhum li'aba'ihim. هو أقسط عند الله. Call them, meaning your adopted sons, call them by the names of their fathers. That is more just with Allah. The Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 5. After which he was known as Zayd ibn Haritha. And it's reported by Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Al-Zuhri Imam Al-Zuhri rahimahullah said, ما علمنا أحدا أسلم قبل زيد. We do not know of anyone who embraced Islam before Zayd. And Waraqa ibn Nawfal embraced Islam. It is reported in a Tirmidhi's Jami' that the Prophet ﷺ saw him in a dream, and he was in a good circumstances. The people entered Islam one after another, and Quraysh did not object to that. People, they began, alhamdulillah, to enter to Islam and to accept Islam. Quraysh didn't object to that until the Prophet ﷺ began to mention their idols and their religion and to revile their false deities. But keep in mind, the Prophet doesn't do it in a despicable manner or curse or not. At that point, they began to exhibit serious enmity to him and his companions. Because to call the Tawheed, you got to call against it. It's opposite the shirk. It's not enough for somebody to know Allah, but he still believe in the false deities. So the Prophet ﷺ, he warned against shirk and associating partners with Allah, and warned against the false deities and the idols that the pagan of Quraysh, they venerate and respect highly. At that time, they began to show enmity and hostility to his companions, to him and to his companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Abu Talib. Allah protected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Abu Talib because he was respected and highly regarded by them. This is how it worked in the time, at that time. The Arab, they were tribes. They were tribes. And each tribe have one or two or three people or more or less that they very respected. Whatever those people say, they do it. If that person say, we're going to war, everybody's packing for war. If one person say, stop the war now, that war is stopped. If that person come to his tribe and says, listen, this person here came and asked for help, we're helping him, everybody will help. So likewise, if somebody seek refuge or shelter with one of these tribes or one of these leaders of these tribes, all of the other tribes, even though they really want him bad, they couldn't do anything to him. Because out of respect for that person, that chief of that tribe who gave him that, you know, he gave him his word that you're okay, you're safe with us. But if that ruler or that leader of that tribe mentioned to the other guys, the other rulers of the other tribe, this guy, I don't know him anymore, man, that's it. I can't protect him anymore. No, he's on his own. So the Prophet ﷺ, he was protected by Allah with Abu Talib, because Abu Talib was respected and highly regarded by them, by the Quraysh. And it was from the wisdom of the most just of judges that he should remain upon the religion of his people due to the benefits which are obvious to those who think about them. Subhanallah. Abu Talib continued to be on the religion of his fathers and forefathers, shirk. And that turned out to play, the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab Rahmatullah Ta'ala, a great role in protecting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he's one of them. You know what I'm saying? He's still on the same thing, he's one of them. As for his companions, those of them who belonged to a tribe which could protect them were safe from them as well. But the rest of them, they began to torture. And those who don't have like strong tribe to support them, and they began to torture them. They began to torture them. Including Ammar ibn Yasir. Ammar, his mother, and his family members, radiallahu anhum, ajma'een. They were tortured for their belief in Allah. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by them while they were being subjected to torture, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, Sabran, Ya ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakum al-jannah. Have patience, O family of Yasir, for verily you are promised a place in paradise. The ulama of Ahlul Sunnah these days, they follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the people, they ask the ulama, like Sheikh bin Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen, Albani, Sheikh Rabi', Fawzan, Mufti, Ghudayyan, and many others, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abbad and many others, Ali Nasr Faqihi, when they Sheikh Ubaid, Sheikh Salih Suhaimian, Sheikh Al Haydan, many others, when they ask them, what should we do? We have this ruler, he's tyrant, he's doing this, no justice, no jobs, no this. What should we do? Say, be patient. Learn the deen. Hold on firm to your iman, to correct aqidah. It's only this life. Even if you die in this life, but you die upon tawheed, by being patient. Sabran, be patient. That's what the Prophet said to the family of Yasir. Sabran, be patient. Now the people, they say, no, these are not good scholars. These, they work for the government. Yeah, they're doing it because of the government. They want to listen to some fake scholars. Qardawi and Hassan and Huwaini and Ma'ribi and Halabi and all of them. They want to listen to those who don't understand. No. Go out in the streets. Revolt. Why you want to, they doing this to you? Go out. Did the Prophet ﷺ, when he see this, did he gather his companions and revolted and demonstrated? No. وَخَيْرُ الْهَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. The ulama, they even gave the Palestinians who fighting the Jews for all these years, they give them the answer from the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. One of the mashayikh, he says that, I don't know if Sheikh bin Baz or Sheikh bin Uthaymeen al-Albani, one of the great scholars, he gives them, he suggests this to them. He says, you guys, you are not in position to fight. Because your enemy is supported by big nations, that they have interest in that area. So you have no power to match it. So be patient and learn the deen, the aqidah. Sign some treaties with the Jews. Like the Prophet ﷺ, he signed the treaties with the kuffar, didn't he or not? Why? Because that was, now they said, oh, signing a treaty with the Jews, that's not from Islam, this. What do you mean? If the Prophet ﷺ did it. But the Prophet ﷺ did it for the general benefit of the Muslims. Because when you have a treaty, no war, now you can work. You can teach the people, you can spread your da'wah. Huh? But they don't understand. And then they told them, look, let's say you're talking about, listen, the enemy came to your land and they want to kick you out of your land and this and this. Well, the Prophet ﷺ went through all of this. They torture him and try, and they torture his companions. What the Prophet ﷺ did in Mecca when he was in Mecca? Patience, and continue to worship Allah and continue to teach the aqidah. Likewise, the ulama, they told him, you're in Palestine, you don't have, because the Prophet ﷺ at that time in Mecca, he couldn't face all of the people, they would be done. So likewise, you cannot face the army, because you will be done, there is no match. So you be patient and teach the aqidah, sahiha. And if they kick you out, you leave. What is more important, Mecca or Palestine? Okay, if the Prophet ﷺ left Mecca, why can't you leave Palestine? Huh? And then go get, you be strong and stuff. And if you have the aqidah and sincerity, ikhlas, and tawheed, Allah will give it back to you. As Allah gave Mecca back to the Muslims. But they don't. They just want to do it their way. They want to do it their way. We ain't going nowhere. Because instead to listen to the ulama, they listen to some other people. Sheikh Al-Albani, yeah? Mashallah. That's what he told him. Okay, you really want to do it the right way? Because Nasr is from Allah, victory is from Allah. Alright, your situation is similar to what the companions faced. The companions in the time of that time in Mecca, they were weak. Few of them, nothing, no tribes to support them. If they were to go in confrontation with the kuffar at that time, they will erase them. That's it. They'd be gone. Hikmah of the Prophet. He was patient. No, we're not going to fight. Be patient. He see the people tortured, killed actually. Be patient. He never said to go and stop somebody. He says, go commit a suicide. Go stop somebody. Go murder somebody. Never. Never. But that's what those guys are doing. Sheikh Ubayd Hamad Ali says, that one of those guys, he go and stab somebody or blow himself, which is haram, it's not from the religion. But what about the enemy do after that? They come with tanks. You think that he's going to send somebody to blow himself? No, they don't do it. And Sheikh Ubayd Hamad Ali says, if you were to ask them, hey, that's not just, man. We send one guy. Why are you bringing tanks? And they say, listen, listen. You use what you have, we use what we have. Right or wrong? Yeah. If somebody waiting for you outside with a gun, can you throw him with the onion? Huh? Okay, you throw him with the onion, he's going like, oh, I got a gun. Not just, wait a minute, he go to Publix, get an onion? No, man, he's going to shoot you. Because you throw what you have, he's going to use what he has. Right or wrong? Allah al-Musta'an. Allah al-Musta'an. So, the Prophet asked them, he will pass by them, tortured and this, and he says, sabran. But when he went to Medina and he gets stronger, wow, the Prophet would take care of the business, as we say. If somebody does something, we're going to come and find you. Allahu Akbar. Because now he's in a position. I'll give you an example. This is very important. If you have no strength, don't start anything. I'll give you another example. Okay, you're a young man and strong, alhamdulillah. Huh? A dog is sleeping, you can kick that dog, which you have no business to do that. I'm just giving an example. Because you know you're going to kick the dog and the dog wake up and run after you. You run and jump the fence, right? And laugh at the dog, right? Right? Even though, keep in mind, you don't do this. This is no good. No, you don't kick no dog, okay? I'm just giving as an example. But now, here is, you have your wife and a khimar and a niqab and three children. She's pushing one in a cart, and you're holding one, and one barely making steps. Are you going to kick that dog? Why not? You coward? You can jump? Yes, you can jump, defense. Why you're not doing it? Because you can't jump, your wife can't. Those children can't. So now, you think about not just yourself, you think about others. And that's what we learn. In a community, you want to do something, you're going to think about what's going to bring to everybody. Not just you. And that's very important. Sumayya awwal shahida. Sumayya, the first martyr. Okay? Radiallahu anha. Abu Jahl passed by Sumayya, the mother of Ammar, radiallahu anhuma, while she was being tortured. Abu Jahl, he was the chief of Quraysh, of the Kuffar. Okay, Abu Jahl. So he passed by Sumayya, the mother of Ammar, radiallahu anhuma, while she was being tortured, along with her husband and her son. And he pierced her. Abu Jahl. He pierced her with a spear in her private parts and killed her. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Whenever Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu passed by a slave who was being tortured, he would purchase him and set him free. It's Abu Bakr. It's Abu Bakr, the best of this ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He spent his wealth, ya akhwan, for Islam to help the Muslims. Do we do the same thing now? There is no slaves, but do we try to help somebody? Are we concerned? Looking at his brother, mashallah, he's going through some hardship, especially in this recession time. Are we really paying attention hard on this brother, mashallah? This, that, he doesn't come like he was. Is he going through some hardship? Are we going to wait until somebody come and tell us, I need some? No. We need to do this for each other.
If we hear that somebody going through some hardship, sometimes somebody may come to you, one of us, and say, "Ah, subhanAllah, they cut my work, they cut me. I used to work overtime, now 20 hours. That he's telling you and telling us that, listen, man, I'm hurt. And we need to do something about it. Help him with grocery, pay one bill. This is what the Muslims do for one another. Unfortunately, many people now, they do it the other way. Instead of they get together 3, 4, 5 brothers and everybody put 10, 20, 15 and buy some groceries and help, now they get together to slander the guy. Yeah, he's this, he's that, he's that. We have to benefit from Salafiyah, man. Because if we're Salafis, we're following the example of these people right here. Here is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, in the early stages of Islam, and he passed by people, the slaves who was being tortured, he would purchase him and set him free. Those whom he bought and freed included Bilal, radiallahu anhu, for he was subjected to the most severe torments. Bilal. They also included Amir ibn Fuhayra. Amir ibn Fuhayra. Wajariyatul li Bani Adi. And a slave woman belonging to Banu Adi. Umar. Umar used to torture her for having embraced Islam. And Abu Quhafa. Uthman ibn Amir, libnihi Abi Bakr, said to his son Abu Bakr, Abu Quhafa, this is the father of Abu Bakr, his name is Uthman ibn Amir, said to his son Abu Bakr, "Oh my son, I see you freeing the weak slaves. If you were to free strong people, they could protect you." I said, "I saw you freed the weak ones. If you were to choose and free the strong ones, they will help you." He said to him, "This is what I desire." This reminds me of a story with my father, rahimahullah. When I was very young, you know, this is maybe 30, 35 years ago. And we lived like 3 miles away from the city. The city limits, like the first house in the city is like from, we're like 3 miles, just farms, no buses, no roads, nothing. And no store in front. The closest store to us is right there, 3 miles. We had no electricity, we had nothing. No water, running water in the house, nothing. No fridge, no stove, nothing. Alhamdulillah, it was beautiful days though. Now the city came to us. Last time I went to Morocco, I couldn't find our house. Allah musta'an. Anyway, I'm telling you this, that if you want to bring groceries, if you want to, sometimes we do some repairs and we have to bring bricks and cement and bags, and we have to hire a little, what do you call them? With a donkey or a horse. Little carts, right? Huh? Little buggies. And we hire them. They are somewhere people. And then you hire them and they take your groceries and bring it to you if it's heavy. But I was with my father, and then they have these big car chariots with strong horses. My father, man, he passed all of them and he went to this man, old man, with the most, you know, what am I going to tell you? Beat up donkey. Donkey can barely stand. Can barely stand. And he says, "Come on, man. Can you take this to us?" The man was so happy, kissing. "You want to kiss my father's hands?" And then we put the stuff on and we have to. I thought I'm going to ride. Me guns. Nobody could ride.
we have to help the horse, the donkey. When we get in a little hill,
not yet, 25. Huh? Not yet. 25, yeah. The Adan said 25 in the phone, isn't it? Not yet, 3 minutes. So, when we get to a little hill, uphill or something, we have to take off the bags, so when we help the horse can barely pull that thing up. And I'm like, Father, why are you doing this? And then other people, they came right behind us and they were charging us with these big horses. And I'm like, me, I don't understand what's going on. Whenever I want to say, my father says, shh, shh, scooch. And then when we get there, he tell my mother to make a, you know, like a bag of some flour, sugar, some vegetables, and he gave the man nice pay, and he left. And then he said to me, if we, all of us, go and choose the strong horses, this man, what are he going to take to his family? He's there too to make some money, subhanAllah, so he can take it to his family. Call the Adhan. And more the punishment of Bilal radiallahu anhu increased, the more he would say, Allah is one, Allah is one, ahadun ahad. And then the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he started a new point, the beginning of the call, ibtida'u da'wah. And then he says, Az-Zuhri, Imam Az-Zuhri said, and that's in the page 117, for those who have the book, 117, Az-Zuhri said, when Islam appeared, a number of the disbelievers among Quraysh would come to those who believed and their families and torture them and imprison them, desiring to turn them away from their religion. Al-Waqidi said, I was informed by Muhammad ibn Salih. By Muhammad ibn Salih. Akhuna, hayyak Allah. I was informed by Muhammad ibn Salih on the authority of Salih ibn Umar ibn Qatada, Yazid. Ibn Roman and others than they said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam preached secretly in Mecca for 3 years. Then he preached publicly in the fourth year, calling the people to Allah for 10 years, attending the pilgrimage season every year. Because the Quraysh, even though they were kuffar, mushriks, they still make hajj, they come every year. Rasulullah, he will take advantage of that, the gatherings of these people come from all over, and he will call them to Islam. Following the people in their stopping places, and he also attended the festivals in Uqab, Majannah, Wadi al-Majaz, calling upon them to protect him so that he may convey the messages or the message of his Lord, and informing them that they would be rewarded with paradise. But he found none to support or protect him. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam would even inquire about the tribes and their stopping places one after another and say to them, O people, say la ilaha illallah tuflihu وَتَمْلِكُوا بِهَا الْعَرَبِ وَتَدِينُ لَكُمْ بِهَا الْعَجَمِ فَإِذَا مِتْتُمْ كُنْتُمْ مُلُوكًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He will say to them, say la ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and you will be successful, and you will rule over the Arabs, thereby, and the non-Arabs will submit to you,
And if you die, you will be kings in paradise. And while he was saying these words, Abu Lahab would be behind him and saying, do not obey him, for he is a Sabian. I mean, an innovator who come up with something new. That's a Sabian, Sabi, an innovator who come up with some new religion. Rather, he's supposed to be following the religion of his forefathers. This man is bringing something new. So he will say to them, do not obey him, for he is a Sabian and a liar. And so they would respond to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the most repugnant manner. And they would molest him and say, your own family know you better, since they did not follow you. See? They're like, listen, man. They reject him. They reject his call. And they reject good, by the way. Because he was calling to that which is good for them in this life and in the hereafter. And the Prophet ﷺ would say, Allahumma law shi'ta lam yakunu hakada. O Allah, if you will, they would not be so. Then when Allah revealed to him, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your tribe, O Muhammad ﷺ, of near kindred, which is Surah Al-Muddathir, or Al-Shu'ara, actually, Surah Al-Shu'ara, verse 2:14, and warn your tribe, O Muhammad ﷺ, of near kindred. The Prophet ﷺ ascended As-Safa and called, Wa Sabaha, Wa Sabaha. The Arabs, they used to say that if somebody wants to gather people to deliver to them a message that is important, he would say that, and people gather around him, and then he will tell them what he's about to tell them. And when the people gathered around him, he said, لو أخبرتكم أن خيلا تريد أن تخرج عليكم من سفح هذا الجبل أكنتم مصدقي. He told them, If I were to inform you that there are horsemen coming around the mountain to attack you, would you believe me? Because he's ascended on the Safa, the hill. So he see behind that, they don't see they are in the valley. He said to them, if I were to tell you right now there is some horsemen coming to attack you right now, would you believe me? They said, yes, we have not known you to lie. He said, فَإِنِّي نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. He said, then I tell you that I am a warner to you of a severe punishment. Abu Lahab once again replied, may you perish. May you perish? Have you gathered us here for nothing but this? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed, تَبَّتْ يَدَى أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَلُهُ مَا كَسَبْ. Perish the two hands of Abu Lahab, an uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was his uncle. SubhanAllah. He was the Prophet's uncle. And perish he. His wealth and his children will not benefit him. Sayasla nara ghata lahab. And this is one of the signs of the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Abu Lahab will not accept Islam. A lot of people who fought fiercely the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they accepted Islam after. Khalid bin al-Walid. And many of them. Muawiyah and many. But alhamdulillah, but Abu Sufyan. Amr ibn al-As. Many of them. They fought Prophet for years. But Allah guided them to Islam. He did. They were guided. They were guided to Islam. Okay? Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, called to Allah in secret for 3 years. Then it was revealed to him, فَاصْبَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Therefore, proclaim openly the message of Allah, Islamic monotheism, that which you are commanded, and turn away from al-mushrikun, the polytheists and disbelievers and the idol worshippers. That was the surah Al-Hijr, chapter 15, verse 94. And we will stop here, inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah. We will continue next time. Inshallah ta'ala. Subhanakallahu bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.